Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Any kind of certainty. And then I look on the sign. It was the Tourette's Poker Tournament. Guy get a pair of kings, and all of a sudden, he's like a whooping crane.
There is nothing better than Defoe. It's now time for The Defoe Show.
Beautiful morning shaping up here. Our first program of 2021, The Defoe Show. Jeff DeForest along with Mike Luby Lubitz. Yes, we're still here. And you said we were still in good standing with the people in upper level management at 940 wins and 1230 The Zone. Mike Luby Lubitz, that came across to you as being the case when our great program director, Grace Blazer, stopped by to say hello. Is that correct, Luby? We're okay?
Yes, sir. Everything seems to be on the up and up, thank goodness.
The Greek said that. Sometimes that's scary, right? When everybody kind of is ignoring, like saying what you really need to hear, which is, don't worry about it. You guys are here for life. Well, that would be a case.
But that doesn't help me.
Not.
No, see, I've learned because I'm a sports fan.
Oh, and radio.
And I've also worked in this business a long time now. The vote of confidence is actually something you should be scared of. If they're paying attention to you, unless you know you're in good standing, I'd rather hear nothing. I've learned from you as well. Hearing nothing sometimes is a lot better than hearing something.
Oh, way better. There's no question about it.
You're doing great. I literally was let go the day after I was told I was the one. I was the man. Yeah. I was the person they counted on. I was let go the next day. So that actually gives me more pause than it gives me excitement.
I was told I was an invaluable and inexpendable asset to the company the day before I got canned from the
exactly.
job. Exactly. And, I felt very proud that I had received that level of respect, but it didn't do me any good when I was, out there with no capital for a while. But, it's usually a kiss of death in this business and in the sporting business, too. It's surprising that Adam Gase didn't get a vote of confidence before yesterday's game from the Johnsons, who said, vaccine. We're making so much money, we don't know what to do. Is that thing out yet, the Johnson & Johnson?
I think that's the last I think that's the last one to come out. It's going to be out in the next month or so.
Looks like highly organized is the way you would describe the way they're distributing this stuff, too, huh? I mean, is that just a continuation? That's the old continuation play, right? No, he took 7 steps, but we're going to give him continuation. And you're asking yourself, how is this possible within the parameters of the rules of basketball that guy's going to the free throw line in addition to getting the basket? But the lines, I mean, it's the old continuation play from 2020. The lines for this vaccine seem to be a little bit prohibitive in terms of encouraging you to go out there. How many tanks of gas? Do you just, like, put 2 5-gallon cans of gasoline in your car when you line up for these sort of things? I mean, it's been that way throughout the last year. What do you do? I mean, and you don't want to keep gasoline in your trunk, do you? That always scared me when I used to get the gas can out there to gas up the jet skis over at the house, Luby. And for a few minutes, you had to have, like, a can full of gas in the car, which, around the house, too, that's, like, the worst place. Unbelievable. But anyway, good to have you guys with us. I hope everybody had good fortune on New Year's Eve and the transition into 2021. If you want to say hello or Happy New Year, whatever it is, whatever's on your mind here, weigh in on any of these brilliant sporting topics we've approached here on the program. You can dial us up at 866-801-0940, 866-801-0940, if you'd like to join us here on the show. I would have to say this, though, and there were a lot of complaints and kvetching about the way things were being conducted, and is this a real season, and it was unfair, what they did with the Ravens, and all the different COVID-19 considerations that took place. You're looking at an empty Bills Stadium. That place would have been going ape yesterday, would it not? I mean, part of being a sports fan and the reason to go to live games is to be a part of some kind of electrifying, stimulating atmosphere, no matter how stoned or drunk you happen to be, but there's nothing like it, right? When your home team is peeling itself off the mat, as we are on these Mondays, and now they're going into postseason, not just as an entrant, like, well, look at that. That's the first time they made a playoffs in quite a few years. You got to go back to Jim Kelly last time they were relevant. But they came steamrolling into the postseason, the Buffalo Bills. looked very, very good to me. You had Kansas City kind of, I don't know that they limped in there at 15-1 or 2. What, 14-2? 15-1, what the heck? Yeah, 14-2, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, they lost yesterday, Libby.
Oh, yeah, they lost yesterday. Yeah, the 14-2. They didn't play anyone yesterday, so they lost. 14-2, yes.
All right. Not bad. I mean, could you say they limped in there, or is that, as Jason Cole alluded to, you keep thinking with these teams, it's your magic wand theory again, is it not, Mike Luby Lubitz, that you were trying to wave over the Miami Heat that one year in the LeBron James era when you came up with the magic wand theory? Like you can just wave a magic wand over a team that's been kind of, sluggish by their own standards anyway. We're talking about the barometer, the measuring stick by which all teams could be judged, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. You heard Jason Cole say Andy Reid. Is that arguable? Andy Reid is the best coach in the postseason. Is that fair? Is that fair to Pete Carroll?
Oh, in this postseason? In this postseason, yes. Andy Reid with this team is the best coach in this postseason, yes.
John Harbaugh, he's got a pretty good reputation. John Harbaugh, done a good job.
But he doesn't have Patrick
Mahomes. He's formidable.
And that team, so no.
Sean Payton doesn't get that kind of respect. You're going to go Andy Reid, Sean Payton, you're taking Andy Reid, the fat man, to win a game.
Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes combination, yes. The fact that last year they were down in every playoff game, down double digits, I think, in at least two of them, maybe three of them, and won all of them going away. Like, even in the Super Bowl, they were down by, like, a lot with like 6 minutes left and somehow won by double digits, which is miraculous. So yes, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes combination, he's the best coach in this playoffs.
I know a lot of people from Philadelphia. I guess this isn't happening as frequently with COVID-19, but there would be a natural intermingling of people from Philadelphia and New York doing business, maybe at a convenient meeting place like Atlantic City, New Jersey. Hey, let's go gamble. But should any New Yorker just fire a Knish right in the face of anybody from Philadelphia who even offers to buy them a cheesesteak today after this Doug Peterson thing? And I would agree with Jason Cole on this one as well. And you two seem to be on the same side. That when you're 6-10 and you need help to make the playoffs, and they're going to end up hosting a playoff game, the New York Giants, you have no reason to bitch or cry about the fact that Philadelphia pulled its quarterback, Jalen Hurts, in the fourth quarter of that game and didn't appear to be trying to win that game. Although, you have to give him the distinction. And Peterson, you don't believe that coaches are aware of point spreads? Peterson managed to cover the point spread in this game, which was the same business that he had. Remember, he had that bizarre thing where he went for two in a situation in a ball game that put him over the number on the point spread. Somehow, I mean, he made some serious arrangements to try and accommodate the people that were pouring it in on the betting side on the Philadelphia Eagles and covered this spread with 6.5, although I was deceived by my friend who only gave me 3 points with Philadelphia. What is that, Luby? Should I just drop this guy and tell him to lose my number?
Yes.
Gives me 3 with Philadelphia.
Well, you pick the lines. His lines, look, being a half a point or a point off is one thing. You can't be 3.5 points off. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's insane, right? And he's going to credit himself with a win here, and I don't really pay that much attention to it because I figure he's going to lose overall anyway. So it's just like an annuity for me to collect his money at the end of the year. And, he was actually fairly close to 500 going into yesterday when he got pummeled. That was an odd day to predict in the NFL. You would have thought it was easy pickings, would you not? Betting against the point spread in the National Football League yesterday when there were so many things that were well-defined as to what teams' needs were. How fooled were the people? How buffaloed, if you will, were the people that were sending it in on the Miami Dolphins in this game? That game went off as Buffalo being favored by a single digit, largely based on the premise that they probably would rest their starters maybe even after the first quarter. A lot of people also aren't fans of that, right? I remember the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning many years ago, rested everybody and then got bludgeoned in the first week of the postseason by the very same Jet team that they had laid down like a dog to allow into the playoffs.
Yep.
So that move is backfired. Do you think the people in the NFL have taken note of it? Certainly not Mike Tomlin, who had, you would have to think that the Steelers feel pretty good about things being within 2 points of a desperate Browns team. Steelers were already in the postseason, and they lose 24-22 to the Browns while resting Ben Roethlisberger, who we thought at one time, speaking of money going up in smoke, Ben Roethlisberger had an outside shot with an undefeated Steelers team of winning the MVP. Now, oddly, the speculation is on that, Luby, that, and you would have had to take a strong and kind of gutsy stand if you were going to bet against Patrick Mahomes, no, to win the MVP this year. But it does appear like the nod is going, at least the public sentiment, and sentiment with media analysts and people that try to speculate on these things for a living, usually very poorly and negatively. But nonetheless, that Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP for getting the Packers to the position that they are in. The Green Bay Packers, who have the bye coming up in the first round of the playoffs, courtesy of the brilliant play of one Aaron Rodgers. What do you think? MVP, Rodgers over Mahomes?
See, it's so funny. I thought Mahomes had it locked up because his numbers are insane. But the way Rodgers plays with, till this day, still way less talent. Like, Mahomes, at such an early age, has like three or four receivers that are legit. He has two backs now, maybe three backs that are legit. Like, Aaron Jones has become a good running back, but no one had ever heard of Aaron Jones 2 years ago. You know, and like Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams is one of the best receivers in football, but a lot of that's because of Rodgers. Every other receiver, I couldn't name you. So Rodgers' numbers are comparable to Mahomes, and he has so much less talent. And record-wise, the Packers are right there with the Chiefs. It probably should be Rodgers, actually.
I think it might end up being Aaron Rodgers, which you didn't get a big price on Aaron Rodgers, nothing like the 25-1 we were looking at with Roethlisberger, but nonetheless, it's a score because the odds-on favorite was Patrick Mahomes, and logically so. The guy was having a phenomenal year, but Kansas City wasn't overwhelming in the last several weeks of the season. Not like the Buffalo Bills were with the Dolphins yesterday, culminating the year with a 56-26 trouncing of a desperate Miami Dolphin team that needed to win to get in, and then very nearly got a call from the governor there, the old Carol Chessman thing, as the lovely Linda. See, leave it to Linda to pick up on our Carol Chessman reference, which, if you look up the story, and I believe it was based on a true story. There was an actual guy named Carol Chessman who went to the gas chamber 8 times, Luby, and I don't remember if they ever actually fried the guy. 8 times. I mean, he was actually strapped into a gas chamber in a California prison there. What was it, San Quentin, probably? And they were already dropping the pellets when the call came from the governor. I mean, this predated cell phones, right? And they had the phone waiting there just in case the governor called at the last second. And what a reprieve that would have been for the Dolphins if the Jaguars had come back against the Indianapolis Colts, who were in complete command in the first half of that game, only to experience Philip Rivers syndrome. Not sure it was Rivers in that game, but any team that he's on, you think has an automatic chance, like 100% chance of spitting a bit, man. Your horse is loose on a lead, and then all of a sudden, now he's beginning to shorten stride as they head for the 16th, Paul, and he's come to a complete stop. They nearly did it. That would have been something, huh, to get help from the Jaguars, who could have lost, right? I guess they had the tiebreaker consideration on the Jets. If the Jaguars had won their second game, would they have lost the number one pick in a reverse twist of fate to the New York Jets, who ended up firing Adam Gase after the season, as was widely speculated upon? Not a big fan of Urban Meyer, Jason Cole, either. What do you think? Urban Meyer, is he going to... You said he was already signed, sealed, and delivered. This on inside lock and fora information?
No, I just heard through, you know, different people that he was already looking to put his staff together, so... It was more of a does he want the job, not will the Jags hire him kind of a thing. I mean, he seemed to want to be away from the game. Exactly. And all the negatives Cole said are the things he understands, is you don't recruit in the NFL, and also guys don't really listen to coaches in the NFL. And that's something that college coaches struggle a lot transitioning into the NFL with.
I don't see Josh Heupel in Tua Tagovailoa. Do you?
No.
Josh Heupel?
I don't know. People are crazy about this kid. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm biased. I didn't draft him. I'm not paying him. I've seen his accuracy, and I've seen what he's dealing with. So I'm giving him some leeway, God forbid.
Remember how appalled the Dolphin Nation was, the Dolphin world was, when the Laremy Tunsil deal went down to the Texans? And even when it happened, you would have never figured the Texans would fall so quickly to the bottom of the heap there. I mean, just plummet to the bottom. And that you would end up with a number three pick in addition to everything else they got back for Laremy Tunsil, which I think was quite a haul in last year's draft, wasn't it? Although I don't know exactly what they did with those picks. You, Libby, do you
recall
who they got?
The Tunsil one is this year. It's the Fitzpatrick pick they wasted. When they traded Minkah Fitzpatrick, who now is a two-time Pro Bowler, and last year was an All-Pro. This year he fell back a little bit and was just a Pro Bowler. They used that pick on the Noah kid, who either is horrible or just doesn't play. They play a bunch of guys in the secondary, and I never see his name. So
the guy with the eye?
Yeah, Igba Nwagini. They used a first-round pick on him, and he was supposed to be like a late second-rounder, early third-round guy, and they drafted him in the first round, and he's done nothing. So we'll see. No, we'll see what they do with the Tunzel pick.
Okay. All right. You have the number three pick overall in the draft. You can trade it. You can deal it. You can do all kinds of crazy things. You can pick a guy who could be a guy who could be the guy that you're looking for, as Luby would analyze in his best Mel Kiper niche. All right. 866. And we need a guy who could be a guy. 866-801-0940 on the phone lines. Happy New Year, everybody. If you want to get in on the show, well, we'd always welcome hearing from you at 866-801-0940.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you'd like to join us here on the phone lines, you should never cry, though, if you don't do what you needed to do and then somebody else also fails to help you out. Should you? In any walk of life, right? I mean, you had a chance there if you're the Miami Dolphins to go ahead and win a game and get into the postseason. And you can't cry about any of this stuff, much like the Giants. Same thing. I mean, the Giants crying about Philadelphia is really off base, is it not? All these Giant fans and players, they were tweeting in during the show, during the program last night, as the Philadelphia Eagles were eating it in the fourth quarter there. Who was that guy they brought in there? Do you know? Any idea? I mean,
no clue.
Al Michaels literally had no idea. He thought it was Mike Arruzzioni. I was coming off the bench there for the Eagles. Now, here comes Arruzzioni. I tell you what, this is quite a story. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
And I do believe that Mrs. Saban, do you remember her first name? Because she was the one that, I think, convinced Nick that he had to go back to college ranks in Tuscaloosa and be a god again. Was she not the Yoko Ono of Dolphin football? It's 9:23.
Remotes.
I enjoyed that.
Those
I really
so
did.
Those were so fun.
We used to run back here and then do that Nick and Artie show.
Yes, those are marathons.
Yeah, we'd bail out of there in a hurry. Girls would ask us, why are you running so fast? You're seen running with an equipment bag out of a Hialeah strip club at 10 o'clock at night. There's a pretty good chance you might see some police activity in the area like fairly quickly thereafter. Anyway, we've come a long way and happy to be here.
Start your day with a cup of Defo. Welcome back to The Defo Show.
You must have punched something up there, Luby. I'm not hearing the feed there
this
from the station
anymore.
There you go.
Is a
yeah, I hear you fine.
Town,
all right, I heard something else going on there. I don't know, did we cross over or something? Unbelievable. All right, welcome back to the show. There are bound to be some technical gremlins here. First show of 2021, Jeff DeForest, and returning from a lengthy vacation in the Black Hills of Tennessee. See, we misrepresented that a little bit with our tendency to exaggerate to make a point and take certain liberties with what actually transpired. It was Helen, Georgia for Mike Luby Lubitz, and you say you survived this all right, that you're still in one piece, and at no time was it suggested to you by any of the local people to squat down like a pig. Is that true?
No, never. The people were great. Everywhere we went, we spent some time in Savannah, Helen, Georgia, and North Carolina, and then in St. Augustine, the people were great. I will say people were a little bit out and about too much for our liking in St. Augustine. It felt like spring break, which was a little psychotic to me because down here I know people are doing things, but they're at least somewhat cautious.
People are all over each
that
other down
nuts.
Here, too.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen
not
that.
As much as that. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Luby. So you survived the thing. You went skiing, you said?
Yes.
And it wasn't like you were Billy Kidd?
No.
Or, you know, somebody that you were thinking, you know, maybe this guy can grab a bronze here. Nobody's going to beat Keeley. Wow. I mean, Hans, what was the guy's name? Hans Klammer. Remember that guy?
Yes.
Was it Hans? Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, they had some killers there from Europe. And
Peekaboo
US
Street. Peekaboo Street was great. Cody Mill.
She was good, yeah. But didn't she always get banged up? I mean, literally got annihilated. Always was, like, breaking a leg or something at the moment of truth. Peekaboo Street, one of the prelims, so she would go sliding down a mountain. Used to see a lot of that in the day of Wide World of Sports. You don't see too much skiing on TV. How does that translate to TV, Luby? It was exciting when you watched Olympic coverage of downhill skiing. Just because of the danger factor. Now, did you feel any of that? How fearful were you when you went down the bunny slope for the first time as you were executing a very, very tightly wrapped snowplow? How did that feel?
The thing is, we waited so long because it was everyone in the state of Florida.
Was there snow? I mean, what kind of snow was this?
There was ice. There was snow. Well, there wasn't snow, active snow, but it was cold. It was in the 20s. There was ice. It was like an actual, you know, mountain and hill.
Ice is a negative in skiing. I believe it is.
Snow. I don't know. Whatever the hell you call it. There was cold stuff on the ground that you could go down with skis. That's what was there. I don't know what you call it. Ice, right. Snow, whatever. There were so many people there that to get the boots and to get the skis took 3 hours. That by the time we actually got to the bunny slope, I wanted to go down so bad. I was not scared. I was frustrated, bitter, and excited to finally get down.
It's not like renting bowling shoes.
No.
Hey, Lou, we got any 8.5 back there? Spray him. Yeah, this guy needs one. Yeah, he's on alley 24. Yeah, no, the heel just fell off the other shoe. He almost killed himself. Now, when you're lining up there for ski equipment, especially if you're in the rental business, that's rough, right? Because no matter how badly the boots fit, once you get them on, you're not taking them off. It's kind of like, what was that movie, Face Off, with Nick Cage and Travolta, when they put the boots on a guy and that was it. They had complete control of you. So, all right, I'm glad you had a good time, Luby, and you came back in one piece. You seem to be in very good spirits.
Yes, sir.
We're ready to grab your telephone calls, 866-801-0940, 866-801-0940. If you'd like to join us here on the phone lines, resolutions. Did you resign yourself to doing anything? Any resolutions? Resolve yourself to doing anything, Luby? Anything in particular? I know maybe getting out of this business would be one of the things. No, you want to advance in this business. I mean, we're doing fine. I thought 2020 was our best year. And we did celebrate 10 years on the air, and I thought the anniversary shows that week were tremendous. I couldn't believe the outpouring of love and affection for the program from many, many dignitaries and people who just called in as well. And then, of course, part of the year was, unfortunately, the passing of Don Shula. I thought you did a whale of a job on that. That was tremendous. And Red found buried in the archives somewhere some of those clips from Radio Row from this past year. Very good stuff, by the way, Luby. You might want to mix that into the program. But and I thought, wow, I mean, look at all this great stuff that we have from The Big Show, from LT. And Anquan Boldin was brilliant when he was on with us. So it was very interesting. Very interesting year of broadcasting. We hope that 2021 brings us more of the same, or maybe even an escalation in what we're doing. Can we upgrade what we're doing here on the show? Or are we just going to start mailing it in and figure it out? Yeah, the old man's heading for retirement. I don't know if Luby's going to get the show. We'll see what they do. They might flip the format. What do you think?
Honestly.
Right. You hate to think these things, but there's an inbred paranoia in being in this business. All right, let's grab a telephone call if he's still there. IndyCar Ruben, welcome to the show. Happy New Year, IndyCar Ruben. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Defo, this is the Donna Shalala stat of the day. The ACC was a 0-6 in bowl games this season. Winless, wow. The ACC.
That's horrendous, isn't it? I mean, just unbelievable they could be that bad. Now, the Canes, they came back. I mean, they looked like they were just going to get shellacked in that game against Oklahoma State, but they did show some signs of life. And did we ever get a final analysis, a definition of what actually happened to De'Aaron King? Was it a torn ACL or something of that magnitude?
Torn ACL.
I don't know if I saw that anywhere. Torn ACL, okay. That's not great, but supposedly going to be ready to come back next year, which he had announced before the game, and people were outraged again, as happens, and it's unfortunately been a trend with the University of Miami players. I guess it's not unique to them, but everybody remembers Melvin Bratton. And, of course, Willis McGahee got injured. What? Was that also his last game as a Cane where he blew out his knee?
That was it. That was the theft in the desert when we won the Fiesta Bowl and they took it away.
Yeah. Wow. That was ugly, man. And it's heartbreaking, right, if you're a fan, because you hate to see this. Kid's on the threshold of getting his big opportunity and a big payday, and then something tragic happens like that. I don't know that De'Aaron King was in that position. I don't know. You're kind of a cynic on UM stuff, IndyCar Ruben, but I can't imagine that Derek King was strong-armed somehow by Manny Diaz into coming back, and then unfortunately ran into an injury, a bizarre injury in that game.
I think he saw his draft stock was not real high. He's like, I get an extra year because of the COVID mess. I'll just come back and see if I can bump that up for the next year. But ACL tear, but his backup, Mekosi Perry, he came
looked
in
good.
Super strong, super strong. They've dropped so many passes, though. There's no discipline on that team.
Yeah, and that's Blutarski level of eligibility, isn't it? I believe only the basketball player Steve Frazier, many years ago, playing for Leonard Hamilton. And this had to be circa very early 90s, like 92, 93, something like that. That Steve Frazier also had like a six-year run. Although this was not at one school. How many schools has Derek King been at? I think he's been at like five schools already.
No, I'll just Houston four, and then it'll be two here. But these are strange times, Steve.
Yeah. 6 years of college out the window, yeah, if he doesn't make it to the NFL. No, he seems like a real good kid. Everybody has great things to say about him. Love the spirit of the guy. I didn't think he was that seriously injured when he came back out on the field with the crutches, and I don't know what kind of brace would be emblematic of the fact that you had a torn ACL, but could not have been overwhelmingly comfortable unless there was massive amount of morphine involved in this thing, and he comes back out on the field and seemed to be in great spirits and cheering everybody on, so I was hoping it wasn't that serious, but turned out to be the case. We'll see you and wish him the best in coming back. Happy New Year, IndyCar Ruben. Thanks, as always, for calling in, being a part of the show.
Happy New Year to you and Luby.
All right, thanks so much. All right, let's go out to the phones again. We have Doug from Boca. Douglas, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine. How are you?
Could be better.
Two things.
Could be better.
First of all, I love it when you make the wide world of sports references, but I have not heard the name of Barney Cipriani, the famous cliff diver, in quite a while.
Yeah, cliff diving was one of my favorites, the Acapulcan cliffs. It was Louganis, right, that you used to see up there. Louganis would venture out and get his kind of, you know, wild man on and go off the cliffs. And he was very graceful, even off the Acapulcan cliffs. But do you remember the big thing about that? The announcers used to allude to this all the time, that if your timing wasn't impeccable, you would be essentially diving into the equivalent from like 120 feet up of a glass of water.
Right, if you didn't time the tide exactly right.
Yeah, that would be enough to freak me out and discourage me from trying it. Daredevil Jewish guy that I am, but no, I want no part of the Acapulcan cliff diving.
All right, second thing, the segment with the gambling gourmet, some of
yes.
the best work you've ever done. And
I love mayo.
I know
yes.
that you're, I'll give you your Triple Crown reference. You've got gambling and you've got food. Defoe of today, not Defoe of 30 years ago, what would be the third topic that y'all would discuss besides food and gambling?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be sex.
you got the Costanza reference there.
Yeah, a lot of ships have sailed for me. I mean, I'm zeroing in on a very big number. It's blinking on the board there. And I appreciate Billy Badgett out of Gulfstream just flashing that big 7-0, you know, which is coming up later on this year. Although I'm about 6 months away, so I still have a chance to salvage some of my dignity before that number hits. But once that does, I'm going to imagine that that's a very serious Mendoza line to cross. Very serious.
Defoe, may you live to 120, and the last voice you hear be mine, okay?
All right, sounds good, my friend. That would be a pleasure.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right, very good. The Greek reminded me of one of my favorite credos, which is true, that the reason that all gamblers die with their mouth wide open is because the last number, the last thing that flashes before you see the ultimate white light, Luby, is a big billboard of the amount of money that you've lost lifetime, which included, you know, about three sticks I threw out the window on Saturday. Unbelievable. Thank you, Jersey Kyle, for trying to bail me out, by the way. He's a mensch, that guy. Jersey Kyle has the greatest luck on slot machines of anybody I've ever known. He puts a stick into a slot machine at the Gulfstream Park Casino, right? Luby, follow this. Now, I've seen him in Las Vegas when we were out there last February for the handicapping contest with Evan, don't mention my name, who is a brilliant handicapper, but and would not be inclined to put any single dime in a slot machine. Jersey Kyle's throwing money in slot machines, hitting for 300 here, 500 there, 1,000 over there. Just bells ringing and whistles going off like there's no tomorrow. So he throws this money in a slot machine, and he punches it up thinking it's going to take $3 off of his credit account there, number of credits that he has. It takes 15 off. It's $5 a punch. Of course, the first spin, he lands on some kind of treasure chest. He doesn't even know what the game is. It's like Mel Fisher invented this game. And the thing just keeps rolling free games until he picks up about six sticks and walks out of there. He cashed out and left. Because quitting while you're ahead is not the same as quitting, Mike Luby Lubitz, when it comes to gambling. But nobody with more blind luck than our own Jersey Kyle Martinez, who hit again, by the way, Luby. That's 2 weeks in a row. You better do some production for this Friday show, the Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday.
Get his pick hit? His pick hit?
His stimulus horse hit the last 2 weeks. Now, you weren't here, so we kind of let you off the hook, although you did, you know, do the usual subterranean sabotage of Eric the Red when it came to that sort of thing. And then he hit again this past week, also on Wednesday, with his selection. So that's two in a row, my friend, for Jersey Kyle. That's not easy to do. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I'll have to tell you the name of the horse and find a race for you, Louie. But Friday, we better hear some homage to that. It's 9:42.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.